I haven't been trying to avoid all of you. I know it's been a while since we've gotten together, but it's taken longer than normal to put our staff together and finalize everything. So I thought it'd be a good idea to get together today and kind of have a chance to introduce you to the new coaches, and also maybe give you some mindset, you know, to some of the insight into some of the thought process I had and why I made some of the decisions we made to this point. Okay. When the season ends, as I mentioned in our last press conference, evaluation starts the day after. Whenever your season ends in the NFL, the next thing you're doing is what can we do better? What were the problems with the year before? How do we get this thing going where we win the Super Bowl like just happened a couple days ago? That's every team's quest when the season ends. The first step, as always, is the coaching staff. And so that's obviously where I started. And so what I thought I'd do is talk a little about, as you can see, the offensive coaches first up here, talk a little about the offensive staff and kind of what the thinking was there when the season ended. I made a change. I let our coordinator go during the season with five or six games left in the season. I thought a change was necessary. I made that. So when the season ended, the Rustin and I got together with Dal, Coach Loggins, basically to interview him officially for the opportunity to be the coordinator going forward. He had the opportunity to have those four or five weeks if we could watch him on the job training. But we really wanted to sit down and talk to him about what his plan was for the offense. How is Jake Locker going to become the quarterback we all want him to become? What was his plan for that? His plan with personnel, with the coaching staff, those type of things you have in an interview. So we spent most of the day doing that, having a great dialogue with that back and forth. And we finished the meeting. I thought, you know what, I need a couple days because, again, you want to look at all your options and see if this was the best option going forward. So that's what I did. As a coach, you go and you find out, you talk to other coaches. You see who may be available, if there's better opportunities. And the bottom line, guys, is winning next year. We know that. So all the thought process going through this stuff is what's the best way for this team to be ready to play next year and win football games, because that's what we all want. And so that's kind of where my thinking was at. In fact, I had a couple coaches call me to see if Dal was going to be our coordinator because they had interest in talking to him. So after a couple of days, I realized this is the direction I wanted to go, that there's no doubt in my mind that Dal, Coach Loggins, was the best person for the job to help us going forward. I contacted him. We met down here at the facility, talked to Rustin. And the question was, we wanted to get a head start on who are we going to hire? Because, again, assistant coaches get grabbed fast, or maybe you may not get who you want. You can have a wish list, but it's not always able to get what you want. So we talked about what type of coaches we thought we needed. And to me, it's a puzzle. You just can't pluck guys out. You're trying to fit the coaching staff you have. So I'm taking Coach Loggins, see what I think he needs, the players we have with Locker and CJ and our receivers and offensive line, and you figure out what kind of coach you need to fill in to strengthen your staff, and you think you have your players in mind as you're building your staff. So that's exactly what we did. And I think it started with the fact that the quarterback position is where it starts. And I think that's what Dal's strength is, the quarterback position. So we talked to other young coordinators throughout the league, have been in that position to pass, to see what kind of quarterback coach they want with them, working with them. What was successful did they think? So we interviewed four or five quarterback coaches to see what would be the best fit for with Dal and with the quarterback, with Jake. And Jake, you know, was here when some of them were here. And the thing you have to realize is that position is so important that they get along so well, that they are kind of thinking the same thinking, the quarterback coach and the coordinator. Because the coordinator really, at most teams you guys know, is the quarterback coach. He runs the show. But you need someone else in that room that can help you, that when you take over a meeting or you need to drill, and that you guys are on the same page and the same thought process. Because the last thing you want is a young quarterback being told one thing by the coordinator, another thing by the quarterback coach. So after interviewing four, I thought the guy we had on staff, Dave Ragone, our receiver coach, was probably going to be the best candidate. He interviewed, and he definitely was the best candidate to be the quarterback coach. He fit all the things I talked about just there a second ago, his energy level, his knowledge of the game, the position. He knew the receivers very well from coaching them. He knew their strengths and their weaknesses to help the quarterback's point of view in that. Him and Dal had a great working relationship. Just go on and on and on. He went through drills. He watched tape. He evaluated what he thought Jake and Matt did well. Just very, very great interview. But the problem was, you can't take one good coach from one spot and put him another unless you feel you have another good coach to take a spot. So our thinking was, who's going to coach receivers if we move Dave? And the first guy we thought about was Sean Jefferson. And because I've heard a lot of great things about Sean over the years, obviously he was drafted by the Oilers at one time. We traded him real fast. He wasn't in the door too long. We made a trade for him. But again, he's a guy that, you know, he played 13 years in the league and all that was great at the position, so he had great knowledge of the position. But I've heard Matt Millen, who I think hired him the first time, said it was the best hire he ever made in his life. And we've heard about Sean over the years. We all know, Coach Calvin Johnson, some of the other guys, and the great work he did with them. And so we reached out to him. We saw his contract. He didn't sign his contract. is what we have to look for as coaches. So we knew that we had a chance to talk to him. That's what we did. We flew him in. We spent time with him immediately. I knew right away his intensity, his love for the game came out. When you talk to the guy, you'll find that out. This guy's a passion for what he does. It means a lot to him. He's gonna demand things be done the right way in that room. We just thought it was a nice culture change from you know, it doesn't mean one style is better than the other, but I think players reach a point where it's time to get another style, and we thought this is exactly what that group needed. And again, he's a guy that off the key from going on the field. This is the kind of guy who'll throw the pads down and go out and practice with these guys. So they're going to be very held to a high standard of what they're expected. So the point was, I was trying to get this guy signed. I felt if we signed Sean, that we'd go ahead and move Dave. All right, so then that took a little while. It doesn't just happen overnight. So meanwhile, we're interviewing other positions, the tight end position, the running back position, and then things kind of fell into place there. And Sean called and said he loved it. You know, he was excited about the job. He thought it was a great place for him to be, a great challenge for him. He said he'd take the job, so we moved those two spots. Sean became the wide receiver coach, which we were really excited about, and Dave went into the quarterback position. So we were able to stop interviewing there and kind of move forward with the other spots. Looking at the staff then, the thinking was the tight ends. You watch games on TV. You watch the playoff games, guys, and what stands out is the routes being caught underneath. The underneath routes, the tight ends, the running backs, and we thought that's one of our greatest weaknesses is how can you help a quarterback in a big way, have little two and five yard pass throws where he can get second and eight, second and one type plays. We kind of struggled with that in the past with distribution, the underneath stuff. So we start looking at different types of coaches. Who's going to help us the most? What's the thinking there? We had tight end coaches come in. And again, I'm thinking about a tight end coach, not just got to coach the position, but also someone's going to bring something to the party with game planning, with ideas, motion, shifting, how to get your matchups. There's a lot involved in it. The first guy that came to my mind, even though we're interviewing people, was Coach Henshaw. George had, I started coaching the league at the offensive line when George came in, I think, in 97. He helped me in a big way. He's probably the biggest help to me in my career as a coach, having him on staff at the time. He's very knowledgeable. Obviously, his if you look at his resume, he's been everywhere. He's done everything. He's come in as like couldn't have another coordinator on your staff. You can look at, again, when I talk about coaching, he was here when Les Deckel was the coordinator, getting started as a coordinator. He was here with Mike Heimerdinger, who had never been a coordinator at the time. He helped him break into the league. And then Norm Chow, who had never been in the NFL. So he's helping three coordinators come in, similar to the situation Dow was in, and was very helpful to thoughts, ideas, things behind the scenes in a big way. We all know he helped develop all the tight ends that were here. Our most productive years of tight ends were when George was here coaching them, with Wycheck, with Aaron Kenny, with Ben Troop. In that group, they were very productive. I think we had more catches than anyone in that span of tight end catches over that time. So that's exactly, to me, what we needed and what we're missing and what would be a great addition to our staff. So I had him come up. He spent time with Dowell and spent the day with him, and I think after that meeting, he felt the same way. We went ahead and hired George for that spot. Obviously, next up was running backs. To fit the puzzle we had, looking for, again, another guy with experience, we had some running back coaches come in. Sylvester Kroon became available. We were very excited about that. I mean, I've heard about it, never met Sly before, but I heard a lot of great things about him as a coach in a lot of ways, from the college level when he actually was coaching defense to when he was the head coach, then obviously as a running back coach for 16, 17 years. I heard a lot of great things about him. We had an opportunity to bring him in. Again, looking for someone like him to come in that demanded that as demanding as he is at the position, has great knowledge of the position. I've been sitting in meetings the last week or so with the coaching staff. This guy is going to make our running backs a lot better. He's going to hold them to a high standard. The expectation level is going to be consistent, and he's done that with a lot of great backs. As he's been a coordinator also with Barry Sanders when they were at Detroit. So he's been around a lot of great people, and again, spending a little time with him, and I think you guys, most of you are familiar with Coach Kroon, what a special guy he is and what a great addition he's going to be to the staff. So, again, I thought we pieced together something that was really exciting and all for the right reasons. Like I said, it's going to make all the coaches are going to be stronger because of it. The pieces are strong, makes them strong, be great for the players. Finishing up the staff, we moved Arthur Smith, who was quality control. He's going to kind of move into the role that opened up from Nate Katzer. He'll be kind of the assistant O-line tight ends, even though he'll still do some of the quality control work. He'll be wearing a lot of hats. A lot of you guys have had a chance to meet Arthur. He does a great job around here. We want to give him an opportunity to get more hands-on coaching, so kind of move more into that role, so he'll do a little more coaching. And that opened up because of the thinking of Coach Katzer. I brought Nate in last year from Jacksonville, where he had been more of a special teams coach. He's an offensive-minded guy. He pretty much can coach anything. He, to me, is a coach that he's done it at college level as a coordinator. As an offensive line coach, so he's done it all on offense, I think, and then special teams. So when I interviewed him last year, the thought in my mind was, again, to try to hire versatile coaches that can do many things. As you can see, we shuffled guys around in our building because I think then you know what you're getting. So Nate was here as Bruce's assistant for a year, did a great job, was able to evaluate him there. But when I interviewed for him last year, a lot of the coaches I talked to, Russ Purnell, who was here, who we worked for at Jacksonville, worked with him, said what a great special teams coach this guy was going to be because of his very smart guy, a lot of enthusiasm, real fresh ideas, just a guy to be fun around. I saw him in front of the team, how well he presented himself, how well these guys reacted to him. He helped run the special teams on the field. Just real excited about that. So, again, thought he'd be a great fit to move into the special teams role, which we did, and expecting to have fun to watch how that develops. So that's kind of how the offense came together, along with the special teams and the thinking, that the thought process that went into all that. And we're excited. I'm excited. I know the players will once we get an opportunity to have them in April and May and get rolling. But I think we've made ourselves a lot better, a lot stronger in this past month by the direction we're heading. So what I thought I'd do here is let open this up to questions here now on any of these guys here, as far as you may have. I think you guys know this is George Henshaw here in the front here. Okay, Sylvester Kroom, Coach Kroom here, Sean Jefferson, and you know Dowell and Nate. So any questions you may have, why don't you go ahead and do that, then we'll move on to defense.
So we'll take offensive questions now, and then we'll rotate out, and we'll talk defense in the second half.
Dowell, can you run us through kind of your vision for this offense and how it will best suit Jake and Chris?
Chris Johnson? Yeah. Obviously, we feel like Jake is the face of our franchise going forward. Did some nice things last year, battled through injury, kind of showed his toughness, showed us his real character. But going forward, just the stuff that we've done in the past with the stuff that I've been around, moving the quarterback, running the football, getting back to that, upgrading the offensive line a little bit, and I think that's the best way that we're going to move forward with those guys.
What about running the pistol or incorporating some of the spread, some of those things because of Jake's mobility? Are you open to doing some of that in order to take advantage of that?
Just like every team in the league, we're going to go and study, what these teams have done in Seattle and Washington. I don't want to get into it right now because we're really early in building this offense, but we're definitely going to take a look at all this stuff, and just like, every team in the NFL is going to do.
What have you done, I guess, since the season ended? And did you scrap a lot of the things that you did last year and try to make it your own?
We're not going to necessarily scrap stuff, but after we, interviewed all these, went through the process of interviewing 70 coaches and picking these three guys we're very fortunate to have, but starting over, make sure that we're putting our guys, our playmakers in position to be successful.
George, were you looking for an opportunity to get back in the NFL, or did Mike call you first? Were you surprised to hear from him?
Well, I Mike and I have been good friends for a long, long time. And it was just a great opportunity to be able to come back. When I left here, my dream was to be able to come back here and to be able to walk back into this building. And it's a thrill for me to be around this organization and the people that are in this organization. And I'm grateful to Mike and to Rustin and for everyone to give me this opportunity. And now, just like everybody else, hey, we've got to go produce.
Sean, what have you seen from, I guess, the receiving corps you have here, and how much potential does a guy like Kenny Barrett have in your mind?
Well, I think for the receiving group overall, we just got to get back to basics, doing things the right way, doing them hard, doing them fast, and doing them with some passion. And that's the first message I want to send. We got to get back to playing basic, fundamental football and playing just extremely hard and as passionate as we can. And I think that'll be a basic foundation for us to spring forward.
Sean, do you see Kenny assuming a role in the X position like Calvin did in Detroit?
Well, we haven't, again, Dowell and I and this whole offensive staff, we've been going through this playbook. And right now we're just trying to get through things. And then after we get through that, then we'll start placing guys, to what best suits their talent.
What are you seeing, Brett, though? Just first watching film of him,
Yeah, well, obviously he got drafted in the first round, so he has some ability. I don't like to get into comparing guys, Kenny Britt with Calvin Johnson, because each guy is different. Just like me, the receiving group, we've got to all reinvent ourselves. So that's my message. We've got to hit the ground running. And again, like I said, we got to start at just a basic ground level, and just go forth from there. And I think if we're all doing that, and we're all doing it as hard and passionate as we can, we'll have a chance to be good at the receiving position.
Sylvester, Chris has talked a little bit about change. He's had a lot of different coaches in his five seasons here. How much does that turnover affect a running back, and what kind of things can you work with him on that might impact his game?
Well, the big thing that that I want to try to do in working with Chris and all the rest of our backs is to move forward from here and study the things that he's done well, and try to get him to do those things consistently well. And every player has areas he needs improvement on. Those areas we'll work toward getting better at.
What does he do especially well, you think, and what areas would you like to see him?
Well, the first thing he does well is run awful fast. And that's something you don't teach, and that's one of the great things about having a chance to coach a guy like this. I think he's a unique talent and a very special talent, and he has the rare potential to score anytime he touches the football, run or pass anywhere on the field. But the one thing we want to do is be consistent at all times and doing the little things right at all times. He gives himself and our team the best chance to win when we do things right all the time.
Like George, said, you're going to be very demanding. I mean, from what you've seen, is there not enough maybe details to what he's doing and that consistency in the little things you're looking for?
Well, I'm just it's just been the way I coach is just to do things repeatedly. I like to take the attitude that every play is an entity into its own, and every play can be the difference in a game and a difference in the season. And if we approach it that way, then a lot of good things will happen.
George, can you talk about how much the tight end position has changed since you've been away from the game with guys like Gronkowski and Jamie Graham, those type players, and do you feel like Jared Cook has that potential?
Yes, I mean, the game has changed. There are 18 guys in the NFL last year that were tight ends that caught over 50 balls, and that's a lot of different guys. There's 12 more that went from 40 to 50. So, catching over 40 balls in a year, you've got 30 tight ends in the NFL that did that. So, what you've got to be able to do is understand that's kind of a changing type area, and what you're looking for is the matchups against the defense, and so that's what we're going to do is try to create the matchups that we feel give us the best chance as a team to be successful.
Nate, what will you preach as you take over as special teams coach, and what area do you feel like the team could improve or be more consistent?
To echo what the rest of the coaches have said, I'm going to look forward, and the play on special teams needs to be consistent, it needs to be fundamentally sound, and it needs to be schematically sound. In the NFL, most of the schemes on special teams are very similar. So what it comes down to on special teams to be consistent is to be able to develop the part of your roster that is your core that you're working with, have good specialists, have good chemistry, and basically understand that you're one of the first guys, if not the first guy, that they see when they come in the building, and to affect those guys in a way that sets up their day to be highly motivated to work on skills that sometimes go unnoticed and unselfish and that type of attitude, and that's what we're going to go with moving forward.
Any other questions for the offense, I guess?
Good. Good. I'm going to ask Dal one more. You talked to Jake on a regular basis. What can you do during this stretch of the offseason where you can kind of get the ground running once guys come
in? Well, he was in doing rehab today, so I was able to see him for just a minute. Of course, we didn't talk football because we're not allowed to, but it was good to see him. He's doing well. So to the point, until we get to phase one, we won't be able to talk about football much, but I think he knows where I stand, the philosophy-wise, going forward. We were able to talk about the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season, the direction, if given the opportunity, where I wanted to take this thing.
What can you do, I guess, now for the time you can talk to these guys? As far as from a preparation standpoint, so when the off-season begins, start talking to these guys?
Well, the biggest thing for us is, you know, it's, I think that each one of these three men is here for a reason. We hired George Henshaw because of Jared Cook and the production that George has had in the past with tight ends. And so we need to figure out what our guys do well and do that and be pragmatic. We're not going to get locked into, well, this is our system. We're going to do what our guys do well. And Coach Kroon was brought here to help Chris Johnson be the best back he can be and get back to the, you know, our expectations for him are high. And then Coach Jefferson was brought in for the same reason, to evaluate those guys, to make Kenny Britt and Kendall Wright, those two first-round talents, make sure the production is what it should be in that room, and to demand and raise the expectation level.
Dale, how different does it feel kind of, you know, knowing that you're the guy as opposed to filling in the end of last season?
Well, the feeling is different because now it's ours. We're going to have ownership. And at the point we took over last year, it was this is what the offense is. This is what you have. And so that, just the feeling of ownership, the feeling that we can kind of take this any direction that we feel is what's best, and, you know, having the opportunity to sit down and study these guys for an offseason, I think that's the biggest advantage we have, is we were here for 5 weeks, and for the two, you know, I've been here 8 years now, but knowing Jared Cook, knowing Kendall Wright, knowing Chris Johnson, Jake Locker, and Craig Stevens, those guys that we expect to make plays on the offense for us, to have that jump start on knowing their abilities and putting those guys in situations to succeed.
Anything else? Thanks.